us today, we have someone new on the platform. So, Josiah Hinojos, first time with us on the platform, is going to help us out with this first song. So you help him out by worshiping and singing really loud, okay? And show him your support that way.
Thank you. Changing everything. mal. Is that true? I'm studying in my personal time the book of 1 John. And John is no nonsense. He says, if you claim to know Jesus, then live like Jesus. You sing that song? We don't come to church to check a box. We come to church to be with other believers, to worship the Lord, put Him first in our lives, and to allow Him to change us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray that for just a moment. Lord, help us to go just a little further in being changed into Your example, that we might reflect You to the people around us. Thanks, Father. Hallelujah. You may stay with me for just a moment. Pastor Brad, if I haven't met you yet, we're going to pray again. It's just Easter's in 2 weeks, Resurrection Sunday. And you know, there are people at Seaport that met Jesus, really met Jesus, on Easter Sunday. I've been here sometimes for now for years. What a great opportunity. So let's pray that we seize the opportunity to invite somebody to come with us on Easter Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, come on, do that. And let's just pray that we'll seize this opportunity. I'll tell you more about that. Lord, thank You that there's still vestiges of, Lord, spiritual awareness in our land, and a lot of that, actually. And I do pray that, God, that every one of us would be out of love and boldness, we'll just reach out to somebody that we care about, somebody that we know, somebody that we connect with, and we'd invite them to come with us on Easter Sunday. And that, Lord, that could be a tremendous step for them in experiencing the life that You have, that resurrection life that we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen, friends. Amen. God bless you guys as you're seated. Thank you, worship band. Thank you, Josiah, for your, that was nice. Yeah, good job. Amen. Amen and amen. That's a great thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to welcome any of you that might be here for the very first time. We clap around here a lot, so we're going to clap for you in just a moment. But if you're, not yet, don't do it yet. Just hang on just a minute. But you guys are clap happy. That's great. But whether you're online with us this morning on Facebook or YouTube or live stream, or you're in here in person and this is your first time with us, or maybe you've never connected with us, a great way to do that, you can go out to the information center and use a little connection card and connect with us that way. Or a better way, contactless way, digital way, is to text WELCOME to the number on the screen. It's 609-61-2145. And if you'll do that, then a little link will come back to you. Press on that. It takes you about 1 minute, to fill out that little connection card online, and then we'll be connected. That's a great way to do that. So if you're visiting with us online or in person, now we're going to clap for you and welcome you. Is our way of saying thanks for being here? Woo! So lots of great churches in Groton, and we're glad that you came to join us today. Hallelujah. Matt's going to come right now. Matt's one of our deacons, and he's going to talk to a couple of you. We just completed the 9-week Financial Peace University, FPU, and we just want to we completed that Monday night. So, Matt.
All right. Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about FPU, what we accomplished, and we're going to talk to a couple of you, so Brittany and Dave and Tracy, if you guys could start coming on up. So Financial Peace University is a holistic financial management class that teaches you more than just how to get out of debt. It goes through 7 baby steps, everything from saving an emergency fund, getting out of debt, how to invest for retirement, and then how to pay off your mortgage early, and then how to live and give generously. So it's a 9-week class, and there were 23 of us that completed the class over the past 9 weeks. So there was about 11 families represented. And in total, the class paid off about $26,000 of debt during the 9-week class. So, yeah, that's pretty amazing. And then they also saved approximately $10,000 during the 9 weeks. So it's pretty incredible. And then, you know, they also cut up 18 credit cards. Yeah, so got 18 credit cards off the street so that we can't get any more debt on those. So, you know, I'm going to let you hear some of these stories. But you know, the main purpose of doing this is to build a financial foundation for the rest of their lives so that they can learn how to handle money the way the Bible tells them to, and so that they can live generous lives after they're out of debt and into baby step 7. So Brittany, if you want to just come up to the microphone. So Brittany, tell us a little bit about where you were when you came into FPU and what this class has done for you.
Yeah, so most of you guys know I'm a single mom, and if that wasn't hard enough, I had a calling to go into nonprofit. So I work in nonprofit. Unfortunately, last year, right as the pandemic was starting, I lost my job of 10 years. And then the kids were out of school, and I had no childcare for the whole year, so I couldn't work for 11 months. So I came into this pretty far behind, pretty set back. But then I felt really good in the first class when Matt was like, we're going to cut up all our credit cards. And I'm like, cool, I don't have any. Like, this is awesome. Like, we're good. Like, I feel better. But so I went into it. It was really difficult. We also have the unique situation. We have a lot of legal bills that surround keeping my kids safe from particular situations. So there's just constant, the outgo is always far more than what I'm bringing in. So this class made me feel like it was possible to take those steps, that there's a process and I'm not just here to hear. So kind of working through that. So over the 9 weeks, I was able to save up my first emergency fund, the baby step 1. We still have a long way to go, but again, feeling like there's those steps there has been a huge relief off my shoulders.
All right, so you saved $1,000. And then what happened after you saved that $1,000?
Okay, so it was really hard, guys. I sold stuff at our house. My kids thought I was crazy. I'm like going through. I'm like, okay, we're selling this. We're getting rid of that. We don't need that. So I came up with $1,000. And then a week later, I had an emergency come up that wiped half of that out, a little more than half. And I was super defeated. I came to class and I was like, guys, I just did it, and now it's gone. So for this story to make sense, I have to go back a little further. About a little over a year ago, we moved into the house we're in now, where utilities are included. But for 3 years, that wasn't our story. Where we lived formerly, let's just say the electricity was off more than it was on, because I just couldn't do it. So flash forward to dipping into my emergency fund to pay this bill that came up. All of a sudden, 2 days after, I received a check from the electric company of my old house that we haven't lived in for a year and a half that covered the exact amount to bring it back up to $1,000.
Yeah. It's awesome. All right. Thank you, Brittany. Dave and Tracy, you guys want to come over to the microphone? Thank you. So, Dave and Tracy, tell us a little bit about where you were when you came into the class and what the class has done for you. Okay.
We did agree on me talking because I do that more than she does.
True.
But that was kind of just a little ploy that I thought of, that this class helped us start communicating more about our funds, because for years, when we first got married, which is 20 years this year, we made like a deal kind of sort of that I would work. She worked, not like she didn't work, but she would take care of the bills and I would work. And it kind of let me off in a way where a lot of people do that. They just say, hey, it's on you.
And for 20 years, we have lived paycheck to paycheck.
Yes. Yes, we did. So this class helped us, if I think anything, communicate more about our finances, on what we're doing with our finances, where it should go, where it shouldn't go. We both also catch each other spending money. You know, like, I want to get this. She goes, well, you don't really need that. even though I'm a big baby about stuff sometimes, I still want to get it, but I realize that with this class, you really start thinking about what's a need and what's a want.
Yeah.
And that is one of the biggest things that I took away from. Sorry.
Go and ahead. During this class, we actually moved. So that was not in our budget.
Yeah.
But during the class, we had gotten a call. Like, within a week, we had to move. So we actually made it through that with the class and staying on budget. And the biggest takeaway that I got from this class was learning how to budget. I've never known how to budget. I didn't know anything about budgeting. My mom's like, you got to budget.
I knew, but didn't tell her.
Yeah, okay. But I was clueless, so money would go here, money would go there, and basically we'd have no money. So now we know how to budget, and that was the biggest takeaway.
Mm. So you
I hear Matt in my head constantly, is that in your budget? Is that in your budget?
Oh, and through this, like the first 3-4 weeks, I felt guilty buying a coffee. Because I'm like, I can make my own coffee. I don't have to stop and
That's
get
right.
a coffee. I don't need a coffee, but... So when I first, I was like, man, this is really working.
Should we sell this or should we just give it away?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a big
so, thing. So you guys have a plan now. You know how to budget and you know how to communicate about your finances.
Yes, that's the huge.
Yeah, so awesome. Thank you. I'm really proud of you guys.
You.
Brittany, I'm really proud of you. Yeah. Oh.
By the way, he's got to get an applause because he did a great job. He was there all the 9 weeks. He planned it. You know, a lot of things go on behind the scenes that people don't see. And these folks that are here behind the scenes.
All right. Thank you, Dave. All right. So it's not just a financial management class. It teaches you how to communicate better in your marriage. So we're going to be. Yeah, you did. We're going to be teaching this class again. I mean, it's not just a one-and-done thing. We've taught it for many years. But the big takeaway here is that this class teaches you how to live with an open hand, how to live generously, which is what the Bible really calls us to do as Christians. So when you give, it changes your own heart. It impacts you more than it impacts the person that you're giving to. So we're going to move into receiving the tithe and offering right now. Do you want me to do that? Okay. All right. So FPU, thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Lots of great stories from FPU and just putting all into practice. Thank you, Matt, for leading that. And you guys sharing your stories. It's awesome. And I mean, aren't you glad that you go to a church that's always talking about money? Churches that criticize, love, they're always talking about money. Yeah, we're always talking about money here. How to get more into your pockets by living the principles of God. How about that? And you know what? I mean, a very famous verse of scripture that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and a right relationship with him. And then all these things, and he enumerates that in the verses before that, will be added unto you, will be given to you. Look at that, Matthew 6. Now, it's interesting. People will often say, you should get out of debt and then you should tithe. I don't agree with that at all. This is why I don't agree with that. I think you should tithe, and you might have to move into it slowly, give the first 10%. That might be a heavy hit. I mean, you might have to learn to go 2, 3, 4, whatever works for you. But here's what happens. When you tithe and you commit that first amount of money to the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm trusting you. You are now my financial partner, and I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to trust you. And this is what happens when you guys do things like FPU and you tithe. You engage God to bless you in ways that you did not anticipate. And by putting God as your financial partner, you're simply saying, God, bring in extra sources of income that I didn't see before. Help me to find better deals on things. Cause things to last longer, right? Help me to better manage my money. When you put God in as your partner, God, give me creative ideas as how to do this. Give me the discipline to pay down this debt. Help me to have hope to overcome this. That's what you do when you put God first and you release him to help you as your financial partner. And every time I see people do this, I see how God steps in and empowers them to get out of debt even faster than they thought. Watch this over and over. Step in, make God your financial partner. Amen? Put him first and watch what he does. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of giving. And may we do so with joy. Thanks. Hallelujah. There's lots of ways to give. You can do it right through the app. You can go on to Seaport's Facebook page, our website. You can do it that way. You can give out here at the kiosk. You can do it a lot of different ways. Thanks for being so faithful. Really, really appreciate that so very, very much. Now, a couple of real quick things, and then Chris is going to come and continue the series, Dress for Success, from God's view of spiritual armor in just a moment. But next week, two services. Okay, next 2 weeks are two services. They are at what time?
9:15.
Thank you. Now, a couple of real quick things. We want you to register. Why? We want you to register so we know who's coming to what service so we can plan better. That's all. That's why we're doing the registration. If you come to the first service, please, you're going to come and park in the back like you do for the Blessing Project. You're going to park in the back. When you leave, I'll give you instructions. You're going to go right out the end doors, not that way. You're going to get in your car and drive out that way as the second service is coming in and parking in the front, which is kind of like the Blessing Project, okay? Think of it like that. And that'll help us to facilitate. Both services are identical in programming and in kids' ministries. So anyway, we're trying to make plenty of room for our new friends and guests to come. Amen? That's what we want to do because we anticipate that they'll come and join us. So, all right. So now also the Easter basket. All right. Okay. I think today is like might be the last day to register for this. But we're making up 100 of these, and so it's on the app. You can get more information on that. This is going to be a lot of fun. The Blessing Project is coming to closure very soon. Let's finish strong. We gave out almost all the boxes except for 50 yesterday, and then we donated that to the free store. But, you know, so let's stay on that. It's just touching. You guys are almost at 9,000 boxes. Do you know that? Yeah. 8,883 boxes. It's just amazing what you guys have done out there. And just go to Seaport's public Facebook page and read the comments from people. And then there's a whole series of text messages that come in. And people are so very grateful. And they, one person said they just love coming to get prayed for. Isn't that great? You know? And maybe some of you saw the other thing that I posted on that. Wednesday night is Drive Through History, and the last segment of this series, as we've walked through the New Testament, our youth has Chill Night on Friday night. This past Friday night, they had 17. That's one of the largest in Chill Night that we've had in a while, and so that's the youth program is growing, and so that's kind of exciting, too. And then after Easter, we're going to do Activate Plus, and you'll hear more about that. But anyway, come on, Chris. Chris is ready to go. Share the word as we step into week 5 of Dress for Success. We're going through the armor of God. Today's the shoes of peace. Chris?
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Good morning, Seaport. How is everybody doing on this fine, you know, staying lighter, longer second day of spring? Is everybody excited to, you know, the warmer weather's coming, we can kick our kids outside, right? We can put our shorts on, get our flip-flops on, although I'm pretty sure Pastor Brad won't let me preach in my flip-flops. But anyhow, let's dig right in this morning, all right? I'm going to start with a little bit of a poll, okay? Let me ask you if you've ever been in one of those embarrassing, vulnerable type situations with black ice. Have you ever just kind of, you know what I'm talking about, right? You got out of your car real quick and you're like, all of a sudden did the jig and you're doing this and stuff, papers are going everywhere and you're just trying to help yourself from, you know, crashing into something. Anybody ever have that experience? You know, I grew up, it's kind of like when you're playing hockey, right? And you have ice skates that are not sharp. And it's definitely an advantage. If you look up here, I played hockey when I was a kid, so I know what it's like to have very sharpened and honed in ice skates, okay? But what about this? Who here has been in their kitchen and just came barreling through a kitchen or some other place in your house and you tried to make that turn, but you had your socks on and you just like ate it right into a cabinet or a cupboard? Anybody ever have that experience? A couple of you? All right. Now, I'm sure that some of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but probably have a pair of shoes for every outfit or every occasion. Don't have to raise your hand. I know better. But, you know, you're probably wondering, I mean, where are we going with this, Chris? What are we talking about? But did you know that every sport has a specialized pair of shoes, right? A specialized pair of shoes that make it easy and give you an advantage, right? And all of these examples, they prove that the right footwear can kind of make or break you. And over the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about, you know, dress for success and digging into Ephesians 10, verses 10 through 18 on the armor of God. And Pastor Brad and James and Adam, they've all kind of brought us through the different aspects of a Roman soldier's gear and how it relates to Christianity. But recognizing that gear and then actually putting it on effectively, you still have to wear it every day and you still have to use it every day. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:15 that for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. You see, the shoes of a Roman soldier, they were a very important part of their gear. I mean, can you imagine hiking upward of 30 miles barefoot? I mean, that'd be pretty brutal, right? Just think. I mean, who here's ever stubbed their toe? Ever stubbed your toe? How about were you ever just walking outside with your bare foot and like the tiniest little pebble can cause such agony, right? And invoke so much pain, just a little tiny pebble. So if these guys didn't have on the right shoes for battle, they could be instantly rendered useless. But guess what? So can we. We need to be prepared for battle every single day. And we need to be ready to be called into action. We must wear our shoes tightly laced and bound to the truth of God's word. You see, the gospel of peace, it holds us together. It guards our hearts, and it allows us to stand together in peace. But wait, what do you mean? I thought we were talking about battle. How are we standing together in peace? Now, I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and when I say the word peace, what immediately comes to your mind? Are you the type of person that thinks, oh, two warring nations that just came together, they're on a battleship signing a treaty? Or are you the peace person that, you know, sees two palm trees, a hammock, a good book, a little breeze? I see some thumbs out there. Or are you the person who's like, peace, complete silence, no children around? But when Paul uses the phrase gospel of peace, he doesn't mean a, you know, lazy day at the beach in the word. He means we need to turn to God's truth. The truth that Scripture is full of peace, right? In fact, peace is mentioned about 350 times on a quick search of the Bible. And now, as we walk through this peace, it really has two parts. It has the union of two things that were once completely separate, two things that were once at odds with each other. And now, those things are joined together in an unbreakable bond. Did you hear that? An unbreakable bond. The first piece is a peace with God. And we, as James told us, must first don the helmet of salvation and surrender our hearts to Jesus. Immediately, we are reconciled and at peace by the work of Jesus Christ. Now, two parts that were once separated and two halves have come together and been made whole again. So if we take a look and read Romans 5, verses 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserving privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. You see, the good news of the gospel, we were once at war with God, but because of our sin, Jesus came and has reconciled us and brought peace between us. I mean, how awesome is that? He has created a new creation in us if we accept it. His power combats the attacks of Satan when he wants to tell you you're not good enough. When he tries to convince us we can't know God. When he whispers in your ear, you're not good enough to be accepted. You're not good enough. We can stand in confidence and say, hey, that's not true. I'm on Team Jesus. And now I have instantaneous peace. And I have a continuous and accessible peace with God. Listen, we all struggle. And if you're sitting here today and you're just struggling, life is just beating you down. Please listen. And I pray that you press into what I'm talking about today, because regardless of your financial situation, regardless of what your relationship status might be, or even if you just, you know, you can't see the light through the darkness, the peace of God is accessible. It is available. In fact, you know, my daughter always refers to this peace as being light and fluffy. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't a promise of ease and comfort with candy canes and rainbows without any trials, but it's this deeper peace, a peace that comes with the acceptance and surrender that God is in control. You know, for me, it's when in these moments when I'm not disciplined, when I try to, you know, force my will upon some situation, that I get the most frustrated and I always end up the most unsuccessful. But when I trust God, when I truly trust God, when I really give absolutely everything to Him and I put His will before my will, then that's when I really have this peace instead of frustration and failure. And listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. So did you see the correlation? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything, and then you will get God's peace. You see, His peace is a gift that comes when we fully surrender and we trust that He will accomplish His will in every situation. Unfortunately, too many times when we say we've given it to God, and I think even when we think we've given it all to God, when God doesn't work on our time schedule, all of a sudden we start to question, we start to lose faith, we start to then grab a hold of those things that we already have given to God, and then what? We start to worry about it again. And it's all because we let that seed of doubt flourish in our mind. But it's really something so simple. All we have to do is just trust Him fully. Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm nearing the end of my military career and I'm starting this transition into ministry. And I got to be completely honest with you, I am terrified. You know, I've been institutionalized for 20 plus years into a certain level of comfort. And God and I, we've had a lot of conversations lately because I have a lot of unanswered questions. And perhaps some of you are dealing with similar uncertainty in your life. And I have no idea where this call is going to lead me. But all I know is I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now, and I have to trust, and I am following that each step He lays before me, that I take that next step, even if I don't know what it looks like down the road. And you know, it's funny, because every time I start to drift away from that path, you know, I start to put my own will in things, and I start to think what other things I could be doing or should be doing, two things always happen. The anxiousness just kind of overcomes me, and then I get instantly humbled by my teenage daughter about, Dad, you're not being very light and fluffy. So if I can give you any advice at all, stay close to Him. Listen for His words. And then just get out of your own way. I mean, if only it were that easy, right? If only the adversary wasn't sneaky and this spiritual war that existed behind, you know, the veil didn't segregate us. But unfortunately, we know he's tricky, right? That Satan, he's a tricky guy. And if you're not ready for him, if you're not prepared for that battle, if you're not ready for that fight, then he gets into those little cracks. He kind of sneaks his way into those little rifts. He lurks just waiting to see where any piece of disunity occurs or any confusion or indifference. And you see, the worst thing that can happen is a lack of unity. And the adversary, he knows that. And he knows that we're stronger together. At work every day, I see these conversations that happen, right? And the enemy knows. He knows how easily people get offended. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've heard, well, that's just not my truth, Chief. And every time I hear that, my heart, it just buckles a little bit. Because when there is no unity, the focus becomes on the self. And each aspect of peace it can strengthen us. Each aspect of peace, it can empower us. And it is through this peace that we're able to fend off the attacks of our enemy. But we can't do that if we're sitting idly by. We can't do that if we're just sitting in our seats not doing anything. And Paul tells us that there is a readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. That taking of ground, that keeping of ground is essential in a battle. So in order to dig in, the Romans, they would take these hobnails and they would hammer them into the bottom of their shoes. So in order to dig in, making them more like cleats and preparing them to hold their ground and to drive the enemy back. And I'm guessing that would have been pretty hard to do in flip-flops. So like the Roman soldiers, we too, we have to drive our nails into our shoes to stand firm, to hold the line, and to advance the kingdom. Because in warfare, we need to be ready at a moment's notice. We need to be ready to enter into action. But how can we be ready if we're not prepared? How can we be ready if we're not donning the whole armor of God daily? You see, it's a uniform. And the very definition of a uniform is it's remaining the same in all cases and at all times, unchanging in form or in character. You can't choose which pieces you want to put on here and there. It must be the same every day, unchanging and preparing. And if we've taken the time to get fully dressed every morning by dedicating ourselves to reading the Bible, we won't easily be tossed back and forth by life storms. You see, look up here, because Paul, he's already warned us about that. In Ephesians chapter 4, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every kind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. So dig your shoes in. Hold the line and ask yourself, are you ready to answer the hard questions? Are you ready to answer questions about creation? About evolution? What about on more sensitive topics like abortion and why you have a thought on it? What about on homosexuality and what the Bible says about that? You know, a great example I have is my best friend Josh. We've been walking together for about 30 years, and he's been saved most of his life. Actually, I was talking to him yesterday just to kind of figure out where that was, and he was about 8 when he got saved. And I, on the other hand, you know, I was a wayward sailor, right? I was going from port to port, kind of doing my thing. But he modeled a Christian life for me his whole life. And as I walked through these hard times and these tribulations, he was always right there, giving steadfast support. And if I had a question, he would answer it. Whereas during that same time period in my life, others, they would try and attempt to force their religious beliefs upon me. And honestly, that forceful delivery usually is what made me like, I don't have that. You know, my friend, he continues to be an ambassador for Christ, and he is still a trusted counsel for me. I couldn't tell you where the other people are. So you got to remember that we represent Jesus in a hostile war. It's a hostile war, it's a hostile world, and we're at war. So be ready to share the good news in an inviting way. And make sure that you make the most out of every opportunity. You can't act thoughtlessly. You have to listen to what your friends are telling you. You have to understand what the Lord is telling you. You have to spend time with the Lord in order to listen and know which way to go. Because we're told to be ready. In 1 Peter 3:15, and if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Listen, Satan wants to convince you that you don't know what you're talking about, that you don't know enough. And then on the other side, conversely, he's telling your friends they don't know what they're talking about. He's getting into those cracks. He's getting into those rifts. I only have one question for you. Are you ready to hold that line? Are you prepared for those questions and those battles? And speaking about lines, I mean, who here has ever played tug of war? Anybody? Lots of people play tug of war, right? I mean, think back to every great team, right? They got a big guy like me standing as the anchor, right? What do? They dig in, right? They get their cleats in there. They're getting in there. They're leaning back and they're digging in. But we don't just stop there. Once we get there, we start to take ground, right? We start going backwards, one foot, then the next. We can't just stand idly by. We have to move. And while you see these Roman shoes, they gave a soldier an advantage. It helped them firmly dig in. And then they started to push forward. And Paul goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 15, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more like Christ. Having shoes on, especially these ones with spikes in them, it implies momentum. Does anybody put on their shoes before they go to bed? Of course not. We put shoes on to get ready to go somewhere. We're ready to start moving. We're ready to get going. And then as we start to get that momentum, we start to grow. And how do we start to grow? How do we start to prepare? We strengthen ourselves every day by daily prayer, obedience to God's word, fellowship with other believers. It's okay if you don't notice that impact day to day. You got to link arms with other believers. Have someone hold you accountable, because the growth over time will be tremendous. And then when the battle's won, just like when Tom Brady won the Tampa Bay Patriots game at the Super Bowl just recently, right? They claimed he was the greatest of all time. But why in a broken world, when we are surrounded by so many people that need the answer that we have, people that need to hear the hope that we have, people that need to have the peace that we have, why would we not be telling everybody about Jesus? We're easy to proclaim, hey, Brady is the greatest. But I don't see people out there, hey, Jesus is the greatest. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But we're not telling anybody. Yet even with that knowledge, so many of us still sit idly by. Still leave your shoes, sit by the bed. Let me ask all of you, when was the last time you shared your faith with someone? Because in Romans 10, verse 13 and 14, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Beautiful feet are protected by wearing beautiful shoes. Shoes that are ready to go and share the gospel. Because we can't count on anyone else to do it. He has commissioned you to do it. If I could have the band come back up. And I got to tell you, I am so impressed with all of you that have been involved in the Blessing Project. Give yourselves a round of applause. Truly, I'm impressed. I'm in awe with your dedication through. There's been rain and freezing and windy and cold. Thankfully, this past weekend was nice, right? I mean, look at the effect of this project. Hundreds of people's needs being met by your generosity. And hopefully some of you in the room today are here because of the Blessing Project. Or maybe some of you are watching online because you came and got a box and got prayed for. The prayer and focus has united us as we seek to meet a need in the local community of spiritual substance. This is God at work through all of you. This is a focus on the lost, on those that need a need, not for any other reason, but to just meet that need. Some people don't even know they have a spiritual need until they get here. And all the reports that come back, they're focused on peace, on the joy and the healing that your prayers have brought into them. I mean, how awesome is that? Talk about your all-time outwardly focused mission of peace with the goal of only meeting a need. And if others could see, if others can feel that peace, perhaps it is the the first time that their heart is softened to hear the gospel. You know, I read a comment from a previous Saturday, and maybe some of you guys have seen it, that said, this restored their hope in humanity. You know, my hope is that it draws them near to Jesus, and He restores their faith, He restores their confidence, He restores their peace in building a relationship with Him. So stand with me. Because if you're a Christian, I'm going to give you a challenge right now. Easter Sunday is coming up. Palm Sunday is next week. We have 100 of these Case for Easter booklets out on the information desk. And we have countless more of these Easter cards. Take one. Take five. But don't just put them, don't just leave the building and stick them in your car. Give them to somebody. Talk to somebody. Take the step. Share the peace of Jesus with someone else. Because it is only, He is the only peace that's in this world. And it's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a news that's too good to keep to ourselves. And if you're not a Christian, that's all right. Right now's the time. Right now is the time to take the leap. Right now is the time to put your fear down, to drop your bags. And I challenge you this morning to put your faith in Christ. And if you'd like to do that, it's as simple as saying a simple prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe You died on the cross for my sins and rose 3 days later. Lord, I want the peace, the love, and the confidence that You provide. Now, if you said that prayer with us today, we would love to connect with you. We would love to talk to you afterwards. So take a moment and just text the word New Life to 860-969-2145. I can't wait to talk to you. Amen.
close friend of Jesus said these words, that those who believe in Jesus, to them he would give power to become the very sons of God. I want to challenge you again, just before we get rid of, we're going to leave here in just moments. If you've never, whether you're here or whether you're online, you've never received Christ as Lord and Savior, you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin, you've never invited him to come into your life and set you on a new path, that's where peace begins, friend. It's an amazing experience to feel your sins lifted off of you and to be right with God. You say, I don't know if I've ever done that. You know it when it happens. I challenge you to ask Christ to come in, forgive you, heal you, restore you, put you on a new path. Hallelujah. As we close, I'm going to ask our ministry team to come. They're going to stand across the front. They're here and they're available. Come mass, they'll be massed. And just they'll pray with you about anything. But if you've come today and you've committed your life to Christ, come and let them talk to you for just a moment and pray with you and encourage you and cheer you on. But they'll pray with you about anything so that you can come and they'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Please pick these up. There's 100 of them. They're not going to do any good sitting at the church. You know, there's 250 of these cards. Get those and put them in somebody's hands. Just say, hey, would you come with me? Would you come with me? Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, I pray that for every single one of us online, every one of us standing here, that God, every one of us would be right with you and at peace with you. Your promise is sure that if we ask you to forgive us, you are faithful and just, and you'll forgive us from all sin and cleanse us and make us new. Thanks, Lord, for that promise. Amen, friends. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. If you're 65 and above, or your immune system is compromised in some way, feel free. We're going to hold tight and let you slip out first. We've been doing this for a year. I think it's almost done. Hallelujah. Protocols are constantly changing. We're monitoring every one of them. And so hang with us as we shift and change with the protocols. Hallelujah. Those of you on the two sides next to the walls, you guys can go out. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Remember, next week, two services. You'll get plenty of information on it. Don't miss us Wednesday night. Great service on Wednesday night. This past Wednesday night was amazing. All the Rangers and Impact Awards. It was great. All right, those of you in these two center sections, God bless you. It's beautiful outside. Have plenty of conversations, but have them outside, please. God bless you guys. Thank you.